ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। इन अवर इंट्रोडक्शन टू दिस टेक्स्ट अद्वैत मकरंदः यस्टरडे वी सॉ दि ऐक्य समानाधिकरण्यम्। What is Ishvara? I explained. Ishvara is a title, qualification attributed to associated with Samashtihi, the macrocosmic, the macrocosm. Samashtihi, the total. And the same pure consciousness associated with the individual body mind is complex is given the title Jivaha. So Jivaha and Ishwaraha or Jiva Atma, Parma Atma. The word Atma is common in both of these words, Jivaha and Paramaha. Or Jivaha or Ishwaraha. What are this? Just the two different qualifications, two different titles attributed to the consciousness. So consciousness is one. Consciousness is one. There is no difference. Because consciousness is, even consciousness, I'm using this abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is implied by the term consciousness. That consciousness is one, indivisible, undivided, partless, whole. Being the subtlest is all pervasive. It is free from divisions and differences. But it's only consciousness given two different titles. As Jiva and Ishvara, from the standpoint of the upadhis associated with. The consciousness associated with the individual body, mind, its complex is Jiva. The same consciousness associated with the total upadhi, jagat upadhi, is known as Ishvaraha. Which means, where is the difference? Jiva Ishwarayoho Madhye Bhedaha Asti. There is difference between Jiva and Ishvara, no doubt. But from the standpoint of what? From the standpoint of Upadhis. Upadhi. Remember the word Upadhi? Upadhi, in English they translate it as adjunct. Upadhi means body, mind, sense, complex is one Upadhi. And Jagat is another Upadhi. When you say Jagat, even though the body, mind, sense, complex is part of the Jagat only. Understand? But still, if you isolate yourself as an individual, every individual body, mind, sense, complex is different from every other individual body, mind, sense, complex. So from the standpoint of the body, mind, sense, complex, the Nama Rupas, there is difference. That is different, this is different. That is why you must eat when you are hungry. If you eat, my hunger will not get appeased. If I drink water, your thirst will not get quenched because there is difference. From the standpoint of these upadhis, this body, mind, sense complex is said to be upadhi because it serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness. Actually, mind is the manifesting medium. Because mind is inseparably associated with the sthula sharinam, the body also is taken as one whole complex. The body, mind, sense complex, being the manifesting medium of consciousness, is said to be the adjunct, the upadhi. From the standpoint of upadhis, there is difference between Jiva and Ishvara. But the standpoint of the source of manifestation, because consciousness manifests in Samashti Upadhi is Ishvara. Consciousness manifests in Vashti Upadhi is Vashti Upadhi. It has two Sanskritam words. Okay. Vashti Upadhi is Jiva. So, even though there's difference between the Upadhis, the standpoint of Upadhis, there's Jiva Ishvara Bheda. The standpoint, the source of manifestation, there is no difference. It is the essential nature. Is it clear? Therefore, from the standpoint of the essential nature, there is non-difference. Bhedaha katham, abhedaha katham. There is difference, there is also non-difference. That is why all the Mahavakyams are taken to be equations, because equation itself means what? Equation is possible between something, between two factors, where difference as well as non-difference is there. So difference is there from the standpoint of Upadis, non-difference is there from the standpoint of essential nature. And essential nature is Satyam and Upadis are Mithya. So Mithya, the difference is only from the standpoint of the Mithya Upadis, non-difference is from the standpoint of Satyam, Satya Atma, Satya Swarup. Therefore, we understand Jiva and Ishvara are essentially one and the same. There's neither Jivaha nor Ishvaraha from the standpoint of consciousness. Is it clear? Is consciousness Ishvara? No. Consciousness is not Ishvara. Understand? Is consciousness Jiva? No. Consciousness is not Jiva. But who is Ishvara? Ishvara is Brahma. Ishvara is consciousness. Who is Jiva? Jiva is consciousness. It's exactly like saying, water is not the wave. Water is definitely not the ocean. But the wave is nothing but water. Ocean is nothing but water. Is it clear? When we understand Jiva and Ishvara are essentially one, even though there's difference between Jiva and Ishvara from the standpoint of Upadis, if we say, this understanding is what? This establishing is oneness of Jiva and Ishvara is said to be Aikya Samanadhikaranyam. Okay? Adhikaranam Samanam. Adhikaranam means what? The locus. The Swarupma of Ishvara is consciousness. Swarupma of Jiva is consciousness. Jiva, what is the locus? Samanam Adhikaranam. The source of manifestation was Jiva and Ishvara is one and the same. There was Samanam Adhikaranam. Therefore, Samanadhikaranyam. Okay? Essential oneness. Samanadhikaranyam means what? The source, the essential oneness of the source of Jiva and Ishvara. Is it clear? Therefore, Jiva and Ishvara are essentially one. Now you understand very well. Ishvara is just the title attributed to the manifestation of consciousness, okay, associated with Samashti Upadhi, which is inclusive of body, mind, and complex. The consciousness as manifestation of consciousness associated only with the fraction of the whole, the individual body, mind, and complex is said to be Jiva. Is it clear? It's very, very clear. Now Jiva and Ishvara are one. We understood. Even now, Advaitam is not. Evamapi Advaitam na Siddhyati. Still there is duality. As establishing the essential oneness of Jiva and Ishvara itself does not become Advaitam. Now what if I establish now? Consciousness is one. Oneness of consciousness. Oneness of the reality has been established. Reality is the absolute reality, ultimate truth, the abstract formless reality, which is ever of the nature of consciousness, pure knowledge is one. There is no one reality is very clear. Consciousness is one. In understanding the essential, the consciousness being one, by understanding the Jiva and Ishvara, okay, the oneness of the Jiva Ishvara, is fine, but still, but there's Jagat. Consciousness is one, fine. Okay, what about the manifesting medium? Jagat is manifesting medium of Ishvara. This individual body, mind, sense complex is manifesting medium of Jiva. Okay, which means this manifesting medium is what? Jagat. Is it clear now? Jagat, when you say the entirety of the objective material universe, which is inclusive of every individual body, mind, sense complex, is what Jagat is, Upadhi. What about Jagat? Now we have arrived at this point where there is consciousness and there is Jagat. And what is the Jagat? Jagat can be reduced to one word, matter. Prakritihi, Pradhanam. You can say Prakriti, Maya, Prakriti you can say. This objective universe of countless forms, names and functions can be reduced to one word, matter. Still, there is Bhedaha. What is the Bhedaha? Consciousness and matter. Still, there is duality. Understand? The two things are there. Consciousness is there, matter is there. Got the point now, what I'm saying? Still, there's duality. Now, this duality has to be resolved. Only then Advaitam Siddhyati. Only Advaitam becomes established. Non-duality of the reality becomes established only when Jagat also is negated as Mithya. So, Jiva is resolved as Ishvara. Okay. Then you understand oneness of the consciousness. Now, what about the Jagat, which is reducible to matter? Here, Jagat also is consciousness. Not only Jiva is consciousness, Ishvara is consciousness. Jiva is Brahma, Ishvara is Brahma. Jagat also is Brahma. Jagat is Brahma. How do you say that? Jagat is Brahma. Jagat, being matter, is of the nature of inertness. And this Brahma, implying consciousness, is of the nature of consciousness. How can consciousness and matter be equated? How can matter be equated to consciousness? Because there are two completely diagonally opposite natures, consciousness and inertness. Therefore, they are not definitely one. Consciousness and matter are definitely not one. Nothing to do with each other. But they are not two. They are not two means consciousness is the one and the only secondless reality. There is no parallel consciousness. There is no parallel other reality parallel to consciousness. And this matter, even though it is a thing to do with consciousness, still matter never has, the material world can never have the status of being existent if there is no manifestation of consciousness. Unless and until this manifestation of consciousness, the Jagat loses its status of being existent, remaining covered in darkness of ignorance. If you want to know how we say the universe remains covered in darkness of ignorance, then it loses the status of being existent. It is as good as non-existent. Therefore, if the universe has to have the status of being existent, if it has to shine, it is very much dependent on manifestation of knowledge. In terms of the universe is, if there must be manifestation of knowledge in terms of the universe is, then there must be the manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am. And if for this knowledge to become manifest in terms of I am, the world is, there must be source of manifestation. Isn't it? If there is no source of manifestation, how can there be manifestation of knowledge? Source of manifestation. Therefore, the source of manifestation of knowledge is implied by the term Brahma or Atma. That's why Jivaha is a manifestation of consciousness, and the manifesting medium is Atma, body, mind, and complex. Manifestation of consciousness is in terms of the Jagat is, the knowledge is what? It's a Ishvara. This is For which upadhi is the entity of the jagat? For the manifestation to be there, then source of manifestation is one and the same Brahma. Understand? Therefore, the universe has no independent existence at all outside of, apart from, other than this consciousness. Therefore, we say what? Jagat is not countable as a parallel reality. What is it then? It is only mithya. Mithya means it is as though. It is as good as non-existence. We can say the entire universe is manifestation of consciousness. I explained this yesterday's class, isn't it? How the entire world of opaque things is reflections of light. The entire world is manifestation of consciousness. This we understood. Anyway, for what now? Jagat is mithya. Jagat mithya jagat is satyam brahma. When you say mithya jagat is satyam brahma, when you say, so jagat is, the matter is consciousness. Consciousness is not matter, but matter is consciousness. Because it has no independent existence outside of consciousness. It's called Badhayam Samanadhikaranam. See, Jiveshwara Aikyam is Aikya Samanadhikaranam. They're essentially one. But matter and consciousness are not one. But still, it is negated as mithya. When it is negated as mithya, it has no independent existence. Therefore, you have to say what? Consciousness is matter is. Consciousness is, therefore, jagat is. Therefore, what? Jagat is, you could consciousness is as good as cause. Material world is as good as effect. Please make a note. Consciousness is not the cause. Matter is not the effect. But consciousness is as good as the cause. Material world is as good as the effect. Why? Because no effect has independent existence without the cause. A pot cannot exist independently without the clay. And because Jagat does not have independent existence of its own, without the manifestation of consciousness, Jagat is as good as the effect. Understand now? Consciousness is as good as the cause. Therefore, what? Jagat being the effect, it is not countable. So, existence is an independent entity because it's very abstract. So, we cannot even, it is not conceivable for us, isn't it? It's not conceivable. It is not perceptible. Understand? The existence is an independent entity. And this existence, this absolute reality, consciousness, is in the form of existence of everything that is here. As existence of time, existence of space, existence of elements, existence enjoyed by the elementals, existence of anything and everything in this world, objective universe, existence enjoyed by everything in the world is what? Ishwara Swarupam. If we manifest consciousness is in the form of what? Existence. That existence enjoyed by every object is experienceable, can be experienced, isn't it? When an object is experienced, whatever in experiencing every object, any object, along with the object, what is experienced is the existence. Is it clear? That existence experienced as the existence of the experienced object is manifest existence. So manifest existence is experienceable existence. Is it clear? And that experienceable existence is existence enjoyed by the objects. That manifest existence is nothing but manifest consciousness. Therefore, Existence presupposes knowledge, manifest knowledge. If there's manifestation of knowledge, then there's manifestation of existence in the form of existence of the world. The existence of the self and the existence of the world. Understand? When the world is not there, the world becomes unmanifest. Then what existence enjoyed by the world without being manifest existence remains as pure existence. See, when there's no manifestation of knowledge, Jagat loses its status of existent. Jagat is as well as non-existent. When the Jagat is not experienced, then existence enjoyed by the Jagat and existence, isn't it? Existence remains as what? Pure existence. That pure existence is in the form of pure consciousness itself. Therefore, what? Existence and consciousness are two different words implying the one and the same abstract, formless reality, an independent entity. For us, independent entity means we want some grass form walking before us. Isn't it? Is it clear? That's why you say Sat Chit. Chit alone is in the form of Sat. And this Sat Chit alone is consciousness existence. A one. Okay? Pure consciousness and pure existence are one and the same. The pure consciousness existence is in the form of manifest knowledge, manifest consciousness, and manifest existence. As what I am, this is. When this knowledge results, when there is ignorance of self-existence, okay? There's no knowledge, when there's no knowledge of the existence of the world, what happens? There is pure existence, pure consciousness. When there is total ignorance, there is pure existence and pure consciousness. Only reality. When there is knowledge of self-existence, knowledge of existence of the world, there is a manifestation of knowledge and a manifestation of conscious existence. Is it clear? Very important. And this, no, one more fact is, and this, I'm still, you had to go to text, that's for you. And this consciousness existence, it is pure when there's no manifestation. It is manifest when there's manifestation. This pure consciousness existence is there before the manifestation of knowledge as a source of manifestation. Therefore, it is free from time and spatial limitations. Is it clear? Time and space can come only after the manifestation of knowledge. Even before the manifestation of knowledge, there's always source of manifestation, which is absolutely beginningless, timeless. Understand? Beginningless, timeless means what? Before even the time comes into being, consciousness is there. Pure consciousness existence is there. Pure consciousness existence implied by the term Atma. Satchit Atma, Satchit Brahma is always there even before the time comes into existence as the source of manifestation of knowledge. But understand timelessness. How do we say timelessness is the Swarupam? Understand? Therefore beginningless, therefore endless, therefore changeless. Now, even the space comes only after the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the time and space which come into existence enjoy the status of existence only after the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the Satchidatma, consciousness existence is free from time and spatial limitations. Now you can easily say the one more limitation, object limitation. I said, also you can say attribute limitation. Okay? Every object has its own attribute. But and all the objects, what about time and space? All other objects which come into existence within the realm of time and space, okay, also come only after. If all the objects have objects of knowledge, have their existence, enjoy their existence only in the when there's manifestation, only when there's knower. Therefore, the conscious, the Satchidatma is free from object attribute limitations also. Is it clear? And because his three limitations are not there, being free from his three limitations is said to be what? Limitlessness or infinitude. Therefore, the same reality, Satchidatma, Satchid Vastu, Satchit, being free from limitations, is implied by the term Brahma. Understand? Therefore, what should you say now? Advaita Jnana means Aham Brahma Asmi, Jagat Brahma Asti, Ishwara. Okay? There's no second thing other than Brahma. All that is only Brahma. If this vision is there, it is Advaitam. In having such a vision, where is karma? Where is Parabdha? Who has Parabdha karma? Who has Agami karma? Who has Sanchita karma? Who is subject to bondage of karma? Samsara. Samsara is also what? In the realm of Mithya. Samsara itself Mithya. The Mithya Samsara is real, is there only because of the Ajnana. Ignorance, isn't it? It ignorance, in the wake of knowledge, what happens is when this knowledge happens, mind will resolve. What is that which sustains the mind? What is it which sustains the mind? It is the ignorance. It is the ignorance which sustains the mind. As long as this self, the knowledge of ignorance of the reality is, so long will there be mind. Shastram says, don't break your head asking too many questions. Okay? You can ask questions. Our Shastram gives abundance of freedom to ask questions to clarify or to enhance our clarifications. The only culture where your thinking is always encouraged. Your thinking is not curbed. Okay? Non-thinking is not recommended. And then, okay? And thinking is not made stagnant here. We are allowed to think freely. Because if people have to be forced into the belief system, and they must be first made non-thinking. Their thinking must be stopped. Understand? So what they do, whenever people want you to believe something, they see that you don't think. Okay? Unless the thinking becomes, they encourage non-thinking. They encourage non-thinking, they stop thinking. But Veda Shastram expects us to think. Understand? Use our intellect. Bhagavan given intellect. We have to think. We have to analyze. How? Not independently also. Here we have Tarka Shastram, logic, we have logic reasoning, science of reasoning. We have Pada Shastram, grammar, we have Mimamsa Shastram, the science of analysis. Making use of the science of analysis, the analytical method called Mimamsa Shastram, Vyakrana Shastram, Padavakyam, Padashastram, and making use of even Tarka Shastram, the logic, reasoning, we have to think, analyze, okay? But not independently with the help of the Shastra. Then you are encouraged to think. In fact, you are made only by helping you to think, you are helped to become sharper. Understand? So here, this Advaitam is a Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha. All that is only Brahma. This is a fact. In discovering the fact, you lose your individuality, you lose yourself, you disappear. That is why Advaita Jnanam needs maturity. Otherwise, it will be very frightening. Oh my God, I won't be there. I won't be there. You won't get destroyed. You won't get killed. You are seeing the fact. Understand what I'm saying? Got it? Got it or not? I'm very much into Vedanta, studying. But Vedanta will gulp you. That is the problem. Isn't it? Vedanta make you see that you, what is this only Brahma. In helping you see what is this only Brahma, it will help you see that you are not there. This what is what? Ahankara nasha, ahankara tyaga. In that, what is only freedom, moksha. This moksha is not something attained. Being free is the swarup of the reality. And you are reality, you are free. You should see yourself as what? As Atma or Anatma? As matter of consciousness. Do you want to see yourself as, not you want to see, how should you see yourself as Satyam, Satya Atma or Mithya? Body dimensions complex. However you see it, this is the fact about the ultimately reducible factors. This is the fact. Understand? In discovering this truth, what happens? Mind resolves for good. When the mind becomes resolved for good, then, can you all hear me now? Okay. When the mind becomes resolved for good, then once the power of the karma gets exhausted, the mind will not be there continuously. The parabdha gets exhausted, mind will resolve for good. Along with the mind, all the subtle powers also will resolve. Okay? There's no more mind wins, no more birth again. It's called Videha Muktihi. It's attainment of immortality. Okay. Let us read the book now. This is all the introduction to Advaita Makaranda. Understand? And without moving an inch, without doing anything physically, getting up and running and jumping, just cognitively, intellectually, you have resolved the differences. Haven't you resolved the differences? Tell me. How to say nod your head or yes? Haven't you resolved the differences or not? What is the difference? Where are the divisions? No more differences, isn't it? They are cognitively resolving the divisions and differences. Okay. But this knowledge very strongly demands living a life of dharma. Intellectual sharpness to understand the teaching, even to be focused. See, however bright we are, we will not be inclined for this knowledge. People will feel bored in this class. They can't sit in this class. To be able to sit in the class, to be able to listen to the teaching, to be interested, to be inclined for this teaching, takes great deal of maturity. People may be brilliant, intelligent. I don't deny that. Okay? But it takes a lot of samskara also. See, the more you allow yourself to be distracted by worldly things, the less you will be inclined for this knowledge. The less you can appreciate it. That's why this teaching is for those who are desperate for jnanam, desperate for moksha. Otherwise, it will go above the head, or we cannot sit, and they will not come next day. It's not katha kalakshepa. It is not even, we don't have any music here. And sometimes people have to use the music to, that's why music, no? The melody can hold attention. So there they can sing in between, they can explain something, some katha, they can say, very interesting, katha kalakshepa. But here, nothing can be done. But just see the facts as it is. That is why it is like mathematics and physics class. It is much subtler than mathematics and physics class. Even in mathematics and physics class, you are learning something within the realm of the matter only. The facts, relative facts pertaining to the objective world. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Of course, biology is gross science. Whereas it is something you are understanding here, the source of knowledge. Understand? Okay. So in this Advaita Makarandaha, I have given a brief note on yesterday and today. It's a brief note, okay? It's a brief explanation of the Advaitam, Advaita Jnanam, knowledge of non-duality of the reality. Advaitam Satyam, Dvaitam Mithya. Duality is not unreal. Duality is as though real, relatively real. Dvaitam is Vyavaharikam Satyam. Dvaitam is Vyavaharikam Satyam means Dvaitam, duality is relative reality. See, to have the knowledge of the relative reality, we need not study Shastra. You are born a human being in this world, already we know the differences and divisions. Acceptance of divisions and differences is what? Dvaitam, isn't it? See, Dvaitam, in our experience is already duality. Experience is there, means there is duality. Experiencer and experienced world. Experiencer, experienced, means duality has come already. So, in the waking state, in our day-to-day experience, we are experiencing what? The world of duality. In terms of the knower and the known. And in this world of duality, we see the plurality, multiplicity, and all the divisions and differences we are experiencing. Just because we are experiencing, it cannot be taken as real. But because we are experiencing, it appears to be very, very real for us. It is very real. Because we are experiencing. But what Shastra says, Dvaitam, we cannot deny as unreal. The world of this experience of duality, which we have, the waking state, is not absolutely unreal. It is very much there. Unfortunately, what is relatively real is mistaken to be absolutely real. This is what is said to be error in the perception of the world. What is the error? Relatively real duality being mistaken to be absolutely real is erroneous perception of the world of duality. Once you mistake this world of duality, relatively real world of duality involving experience division, to be the absolutely real, absolute reality, we become dependent on this world of duality for our happiness and security. This dependence is called what? Attachment. Understand? Then, based on the dependence and our actions and the results of actions produced by the results, and to exhaust the results again being born, and just why do we mistake this duality to be absolutely real? Relatively real duality, why is it mistaken to be absolutely real duality? Because we do not know what is absolutely real. And what is absolutely real? Advaitam is absolutely real. Advaitam Satyam. Advaitam Paramarthikam Satyam. What is absolutely real is non-duality of the reality. non-dual reality is paramarthikam satyam. And this relative reality is vyavaharikam satyam. Vyavaharikam satyam, dvaitam is mithya. Paramarthikam satyam, advaitam is satyam. Absolute reality, relative reality. And in between, we have dream, isn't it? Dream also is a world of duality, but experienced only within your own mind, which is not real for others, isn't it? This world of duality experienced in the waking state is relatively real, but relative reality, but it is objective reality. It is common for all. Whereas the dream, the world of duality experienced in dream, the world of duality experienced in dream is what? Subjectively real. This Pratibhasikam Satyam. Now what is Pratibhasikam Satyam? What is Vyavaharikam Satyam? What is Paramarthikam Satyam? Advaitam, this absolute reality is Paramarthikam Satyam. Advaitam is non-dual reality is Paramarthikam Satyam. And this world of duality is experienced, the waking state is what? Vyavaharikam Satyam. The dream, the world of duality experienced in dream is Pratibhasikam Satyam, subjective reality. Subjective reality, objective reality, absolute reality. Understand? Subjective reality and objective reality are relative realities. Relatively real. Is it clear? When I say, is it clear, you must nod your head. Only then I'll go ahead. All these state terms should come together. Isn't it? The beauty of the Shastram is, Veda Shastram is, in order this wisdom, there is no greater wisdom than having the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the non-dual reality, non-duality of the reality. Sadvaita Jnanam Param Jnanam. After that, there is no other Jnanam. Why this absolute, why this Param Jnanam? Why this is Paravidya? Why this is absolute wisdom? Because in discovering this fact of reality being non-dual, okay, fact of non-duality of the reality being real, what happens? The human miseries resolve. The human miseries caused by erroneous perception. The whole samsara is purely because of error. Error in the perception of the self and the world. That is why any perception we have in our day-to-day life definitely is erroneous. We have our own limitations. And all our relationship damage, all our problems and confusions in life, purely because of the erroneous perceptions. All our conclusions are based on erroneous perceptions. We think about that person, this person is like this, this person is like this, this person is like this. We make conclusions of people, conclusions of situations, not knowing their background, not knowing their difficulties, because we don't know. And we have our own limitations. Why we make our wrong conclusions? Our own limitations. That's why objectivity. Objectivity means knowledge is objectivity. Absolute objectivity means, okay, being objective means being free, not internalizing. In non-internalizing, in being objective, there is freedom. That doesn't happen overnight. Only if Aham Brahma Asmi, I am that one secondless non-dual reality, Brahma Aham Asmi. I cannot be equated to anything other than this Brahma. This vision is there, then you are a person of objectivity. You are free. Jivan Muktaha. Is it clear? And for that jnanam, for that for a clear, doubt-free, ascertain vision of the non-duality of the reality, one must be what? Even to understand, one must be inclined, one must be interested, one must be able to grasp the teaching. Even after grasping, one must be able to think further. The problem is, there's a lot of thinking is involved. One has to see again, what are the possible doubts? And the doubts should also resolve. Doubt should resolve, one must have clear knowledge. The clear doubt should become ascertained, ever remembered in jnanam. So that when troubles come in life, your knowledge must be handy, that you can immediately you can become objective and you can see that you are not at all affected. This is what is freedom. Then only then the knowledge is, knowledge serves its purpose. It is said to be enjoying the benefit of knowledge. Most of the times, when people have knowledge also, they are not able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge because of the lack of ascertainment. And for ascertaining, for having doubts resolved, for having understanding, for studying, for being inclined for this shastram, one needs what now? Certain degree of preparedness. And that preparedness, in terms of antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam is possible only if a person strictly lives a life of dharma. Understand? That is why the whole vision, the way of life governed by the Vaidika dharma, the way of life governed by dharma is based on the spiritual vision. So religious life, ethical life, emphasis is all based on the spiritual vision. Understand? It is this vision is a non-refutable fact. And the way of life is non-improvably well-designed way of life. Therefore, this is the sanatana. There's no way of this culture becoming destroyed. It always be surviving. In spite of, it survived in spite of all sorts of onslaughts, it will survive. Okay, there's no doubt. This teaching, we don't even call it religion or anything. You understand? This teaching, this is the vision of the fact. And this vision of the fact will always be acceptable. Because being a fact, it cannot be destroyed. Being a fact, it has to be accepted. If you don't accept, you will be the loser. If you accept, you will be the beneficiary. And this fact will always be looked at. The whole world has to arrive at this fact one day or the other. Any people of any part of the world have to one day or the other in one lifetime, after many, many janmas, one has to arrive at this wisdom. That is why this land of this culture, this wisdom will be Jagat Guru. Understand? Let us see this. First verse, Advaita Makarandaha. There's no nectar. Advaitam eva makarandaha, Advaita Makarandaha. What is nectar? Nectar is always said to be, if you drink nectar, you don't know nectar, don't ask me whether I have tasted nectar. I have not tasted nectar. I taste nectar only in the form of that Shastra teaching. Nectar, in mythology, okay, they say if you drink nectar, nectar is a very special drink. Okay, it's available only in, it's there. And if you get the nectar, if you drink it, and you will live forever. You will not die at all. Understand? So immortality is the result of drinking the nectar. But that drink, nectar, is not a drink which you can pour it in the cup and drink. It is something to be understood. That's why Advaitam eva makarandaha. Advaita makarandaha. The nectar of the nectar in terms of the wisdom of non-duality of the reality. Nectar of non-duality. And the author, Sri Lakshmidhara Kavihi, later on, when he was a Grastha, he was known as Lakshmidhara Kavihi. Later on, he was known, he became a Swami, Swami Krishnananda, something. He became a Swami also. And this work consists of 28 verses. 28 verses. The 28 verses is a concluding verse. And the first verse is a verse of Mangala Charanam, a benedictory verse. The first verse is a benedictory verse. Mangala Charanam. Mangala Charanam Shloka. So you now you've been given to the study of the Shatram, you know how any text and every text begins with the Mangala Charana Shloka. Mangala Charana Shloka is a benedictory verse wherein the author invokes the grace of Bhagavan for two purposes. Main purpose is when the author wants to complete the text. For the successful completion of the text, the author invokes the grace of Bhagavan. And author invokes the grace of Bhagavan also for many people to enjoy the benefit of the text. If many people have to enjoy the benefit of the text, people need grace. And the work has been completed successfully, for which grace is important. So, if in any work, the benedictory verse, otherwise simply Mangalacharana Shlokaha, reveals one fact. If we have to be successful in our endeavor, definitely we have to make our own efforts first. Our efforts must be there. But our own efforts will not be enough without Bhagavan's grace. So prayatnaha must be there on the part of ourselves. Along with our effort, we must fervently, intensely beg for Bhagavan's grace. Bhagavataha anugraha also is important. So prayatnaha anugraha, both must be there. Then you have to wait for the result, successful result. What now? For some time, kalaha. Kalaha, prayatnaha, daivam. It is called anugraha. Three factors are involved in accomplishing, attaining any success. So, these authors, great, great people, men of great wisdom, they, when they pin their own vision in the form of works, they first they invoke the grace of Bhagavan. In this Mangala Charana Shloka, that's why it's called Mangala Charana Shloka. An auspicious beginning of the work wherein the author invokes grace of Bhagavan for being able to complete his work successfully without any obstacles, and also for the sake of the many people who should become beneficiaries of this, who enjoy the benefit of this text. Okay. So, Lakshmi, Lakshmi Dhara Kavihe Advaita Makarandaha. Kataakshakiranachanta Kataakshakiranachanta Namanmohabdhaye Namaha Namanmohabdhaye Namaha Anantananda Krishnaya Anantananda Krishnaya Jaganmangalamurtaye Kataakshakiranachanta Kataakshakiranachanta Namanmohabdhaye Namaha Abdhaye Namaha Anantananda Krishnaya Anantananda Krishnaya Jaganmangalamurtaye Kataakshakiranachanta Kataakshakiranachanta Namanmohabdhaye Namaha नमन्मोहाभये नमः अनन्तानन्दकृष्णाय 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 जगन्मङ्गलमूर्तये अनन्तानन्दकृष्णाय जगन्मङ्गलमूर्तये कटाक्षकिरणाचान्त नमन्मोहाब्धये नमः अनन्तानन्दकृष्णाय जगन्मङ्गलमूर्तये I repeated this stoka many times because we are also invoking the grace of Bhagavan along with the author. That's why I repeated many times. Because Namaha. Namaha means prostrations, salutations. And this word Namaha always goes with the fourth case, you know very well. It's a beautiful compound. Jagan Mangala Murtaye Namaha. Jagan Mangala Murtaye Namaha. Jagataha Mangala Mangala Murtihi Yasya. Jagataha Bhagavan is Mangala Murti. Bhagavan, who is of the form of auspiciousness. And who be Bhagavan is of the form of auspiciousness. Therefore, Bhagavan is the source of auspiciousness. Bhagavan is the bestower of auspiciousness to the world. Jagan Mangala Murti, within one word, he brings in so much. Bhagavan, who is the source of auspiciousness, Bhagavan, who is the form of auspiciousness, and that thereby who bestows auspiciousness to the world, is Jagan Mangala Murti. So unto that Bhagavan, the source of auspiciousness, and who blesses the world with auspiciousness, unto him, salutations. Jagan Mangala Murtaye Namaha. See, Bhagavan is said to be of the form of auspiciousness, the source of auspiciousness, because Bhagavan is the one who is the bestower of anything and everything that is needed for living in this life. Bhagavan is the bestower of artha, the bestower of kama, bestower of pleasures. Bhagavan is the bestower of strength to live a life of dharma. Bhagavan is the one who ordains punyam, okay, results of our actions. And Bhagavan is the bestower of jnanam. And Bhagavan himself is the jnanam. Therefore, Bhagavan is the bestower of freedom also. The only bestower, Bhagavan is not the bestower, but only bestower of everything is Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan is ultimately, Bhagavan gives himself to us. Isn't it? So Bhagavan is the source of all auspiciousness, the bestower of all auspiciousness. Unto him, salutations. Jiganmangala Murtaye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. And who is this Bhagavan Jiganmangala Murtihi? Anantananda Krishnaha. Here, the author expresses his respect to his own guru, whose name was Anantananda. So he uses the name of his teacher. Okay? Because for a person, guru is non-different from Bhagavan. If a person really enjoys the benefit of the teaching, and he can really equate his guru to Ishvara. So his own teacher was Anantananda Krishna. And also one more reason, Bhagavan Krishna was his Ishta Devata also. People have their own personal deities. Isn't it? Different teachers can have different personalities, nothing wrong. Some people like, some people have Shiva as the Ishta Devata. Most of the people have Krishna as the Ishta Devata. People who have been listening to Bhagavatam will helplessly become, they have Krishna as Ishta Devata. Even I grew up as from childhood, we all grew up as Krishna Bhaktas. From childhood, the only deity I knew was only Krishna. Right in front of the temple, what we have is only Krishna. So what I'm saying, Krishna is the Ishta Devata. Other people, especially Rama, is the Ishta Devata. Other people, Devi is Ishta Devata. People have their own Ishta Devatas. But this author definitely must have had Bhagavan Krishna as his Ishta Devata. So, Ishta Devata being Krishna, his teacher's name being Anantananda Krishna, okay, and he mentions the name here. Bhagavan says, salutations unto Bhagavan, who is the source of all auspiciousness, the bestower of auspiciousness to the world, and who is Anantananda Krishna. Again, this, even though it's the name of his teacher, even though it is Bhagavan Krishna, his name of Ishta Devata, still these three words also reveal the nature of Bhagavan. Swarupam of Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan is Anantaha, Anandaha, Krishna. All three words reveal the same. Anantaha means what? Bhagavan who is infinite. Why Bhagavan is said to be infinite? Bhagavan is essentially of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness. And being limitless is what? Being full. Being happy. Bhagavan is Ananda Swarupa. Bhagavan is of the nature of happiness. Bhagavan is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness, infinitude. And that Bhagavan, therefore Bhagavan is Krishna. Who is Krishna? Why Bhagavan is said to be Krishna? Krishna means all attractive. Do you remember? I did tell this meaning many times in my class. Krishna, Krishna, we think of somebody who is dark baby. Krishna baby, is it? Krishna means dark, karupal. But Krishna also means all attractive. Why? Sarvani manamsi akarshati iti Krishna. Sarvani manamsi akarshati iti Krishna. Bhagavan Krishna. Krishna, who is Krishna? Is the one who is capable of dragging, drawing, pulling, impressing all minds towards himself. Sarvani manamsi akarshati. This I is a prefix and Krish is a dhatu. So Sarvani manamsi akarshati iti Krishna. So here, what is that which attracts all the minds towards itself? What is that one thing which is sought after, which is searched for? All the minds. Okay, all the people of all times in all places. Sukham, nitya nirantara sukham. Everlasting happiness. Everlasting happiness, everlasting peace is something which is sought after, searched for, by people of all times, of all places, and all cultures. Therefore, all attractive. All attractive is happiness, fullness of happiness, niraivu. Fullness of happiness is something which is all attractive. So, all attractive is fullness of happiness. And Krishna means all attractive. Therefore, Krishna means fullness of happiness. Is it clear? Krishna is equal to all attractive. All attractive is equal to happiness. A is equal to B, B is equal to C, or A is equal to C. Therefore, all attractive happiness is Krishna. And who is Krishna? Krishna is personification of this Krishna, whom we see as Tribhangi Krishna, is a personification of all attractive happiness. This Pooja Swamiji explained, that's why Tribhanga, the three bends in Krishna. One bend like this, one hip like this, one bend, isn't it? The Tribhanga, the three bends in Krishna, stands for fullness, limitlessness, happiness. It's all accommodative nature also. Krishna can accommodate any nonsense. Okay? If a person is fullness of happiness, person is of the nature of fullness of happiness, in Nirevil, he can accommodate anything. All accommodative. Understand? If a Krishna means all accommodative, all attractive, fullness of happiness. And that is the Swarup of Triya, Parabrahma Vastu. Understand? Ishra is Brahma, Parambrahma. Therefore, Ananda, Ananda, Krishna. See, all three words mean the same. Salutations unto Bhagavan, who is ever of the form of auspiciousness, the bestower of auspiciousness, and who is of the nature of limitlessness, fullness of happiness, and all attractive, all accommodative, fullness of happiness. Is it clear? Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangala Murtaye Namaha. And here, I heard, because we do not know who his teacher was, what his name was, what his devata was, we do not know. So the commentators, we understand, his teacher's name also was Anantananda Krishna. And his devata also was Krishna. So in this place, in invoking the grace of Bhagavan, in offering his namaskarams to Bhagavan, he used Bhagavan's, okay, his guru's name and his Ishtadevata's name here, in the place of Bhagavan. Then who is this Anantananda Krishna? Who is this Bhagavan? Who is ever of the nature of, isn't it? Who is of the nature of all attractive, all accommodative fullness of happiness? He says, Kataksha Kiranachanta Raman Mohabdaye. Our Swamiji, not only he was an amazing teacher of Shastram, he was also unfolding this compound hill. Swamiji was a great lover of some nice compounds. He always used to like this very much. He likes this, the work he liked. Apart from being a tremendous, the great Vedanti, he was a great poet, Lakshmidhara Kavi. His name is Kavi. So he beautiful, our compound comes. Look at this. Kataksha Kiranachanta Naman Mohabdhaye is a fourth case. Isn't it? Who is Bhagavan? He is. See, let me explain to you. Abdihi. Abdihi means Ikaranta Pullinga Shabdaha. Abdihi means ocean. Abdihi, Jaladihi, Udadihi. All these words mean the same, ocean. Up means water. Abdihi. Up plus dihi, abdihi. Abdihi means ocean. Abdaye means to devotion. Not to devotion here. Let me make it very clear. Okay? And this ocean is of what? This ocean is not of water. This ocean is of delusion. Moha abdihi. Moha, mohasya abdihi, moha abdihi. Ocean of delusion. Huge ocean of delusion. You know why? The ocean, the delusion itself is what? Expression, product of beginningless anadi avidya. The delusion being the product of anadi avidya is said to be what? Huge ocean of delusion. Understand? Because delusion retains a person in the ever endless samsara. Delusion retains a person in endless life of transmigration, which is again endless, therefore it's likened to an ocean. Understand? Mohabdihi means the delusion is likened to an ocean because delusion retains the person in endless cycle of births and deaths. Therefore, delusion also is likened to an ocean, mohabdhi, ocean of delusion. And this ocean of delusion is achantaha bhavati. Achantaha means engulfed. Engulfed, swallowed, past passive participle. Cha. A is a prefix. See, achanta. I'll tell you, I know Sachin and you would have definitely immediately asked for the root and then verb. No, no, both of you will ask, I don't know. I'm very happy for that. Let me do with this. Achanta is a past passive participle, which means engulfed, gulped, swallowed. Okay? Participle. Achantaha mohabdhi yena. Saha achanta mohabdhi. The one by whom the ocean of delusion has been swallowed or engulfed, gulped, devoured, okay, is achanta mohabdhi. Bhagavan Krishna is said to be achanta mohabdhi. Achantaha mohabdhi yena. Saha achanta mohabdhi. Okay? The one by whom the ocean of delusion has been swallowed, engulfed. Okay. But he, this ocean of delusion is engulfed by Bhagavan. Whose ocean of delusion? Namatam. Namatam. See, namat is there, no? Whenever naman, that naman should be taken as namat. Compound word that is. Namat. Namati is a verb. This one verse you have to play, spend some time, okay? Namati. Nam dhatuhu. Namati is a verb. Namati means bows to. Bows to, surrenders to. Namati bows to. Now, Shatrunta Shabda is what? Namat Shabda. Naman. Okay? See, now, Balakaha Naman Asti means what? Boy is bowing. Okay? Now, Naman, what the passive plural form? Namatam. Namatam Bhaktanam Mohabdihi Achantaha Yena. Saha Naman Namat. Namatam. The Shashti Tatpurusamasa. The sixth case ending becomes dropped. Isn't it? Shashti Tatpurusamasa. Namatam, namatam, mohabdhi, achantaha, yena, saha, namat, moh, namat, achanta, namat, mohabdhi. The one by whom the ocean of delusion has been engulfed, the ocean of delusion of the devotees. Namatam. Namatam means of those who bow to him. Only if you bow to him and he will engulf the ocean of delusion. If we do not bow to him, he will not engulf the ocean of delusion. Is it clear? Bhagavan Krishna is the one by whom the ocean of delusion of those who bow to him, okay, engulfed. That's it. And how does he engulf? Katam, see, namatam bhaktanam mohabdihi achantaha yena, krishnena, bhagavatam, no? Saha achanta naman mohabdihi. But katam mohabdihi achantaha bhavati. How does the ocean of delusion become swallowed by Bhagavan? He does yet work very hard. Oh my God. Drink something. Drink everything. No. Just by saying like this. So kataksha kiranena. Kiranaha means ray of light, isn't it? But kat akshakiranaha means ray of glance. Kataksha, side glance. Merely by the ray of side glance, Bhagavan, by whose mere ray of side glance, the ocean of delusion of devotees who bow to him has been swallowed. He is Kataksha Kirana Achanta Naman Mohabdihi. Simply put, one word, Bhagavan, no? Who is Bhagavan? Big description. Who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan alone can swallow the ocean of delusion, our ocean of delusion. If our ocean of delusion has been swallowed, and we must bow to Bhagavan. If you bow to Bhagavan, Bhagavan will swallow our ocean of delusion by mere ray of side glance. Kataksha kiranena moha namatam bhaktana mohabdhi achantah bhavati yena saha kataksha kiranachanta naman mohabdhi. Got it? Will you forget it again? Will you forget it? Is it easy or difficult now? Now it is easy, very easy, isn't it? Okay. Kataksha kiranachanta naman mohabdhi. Okay. Here, very important word is what? Naman. Naman means namat. Namat stands for namatam. Bhagavan swallows the ocean of delusion only of those who bow to him, those who surrender to him. See, this namati verb always implies surrender. Whenever I do prostration or salutation, what it implies is I surrender myself to Bhagavan. So surrendering myself to Bhagavan is not, surrendering oneself to Bhagavan is not physical. Falling flat, doing prostration or salutation is a physical expression of the surrender. Surrender is purely, isn't it? Is a cognitive. How do we surrender to Bhagavan? When you resolve identity in Bhagavan, the wake of knowledge, if you say there's no I am, there's no I, all that is, there's only Ishvara, when you say, is offering oneself to Bhagavan. Understand now? The wake of the jnanam, if you say, we see, there's only Bhagavan, there's no I, means you have offered yourself to Bhagavan. Is offering oneself to Bhagavan in terms of jnanam, that all that is, there's only Ishvara, I'm non-separate from Ishvara. If the understanding is there, that is exalted offering, which is absolute surrender. If you offer yourself to Bhagavan, that is exalted surrender, absolute surrender. But until that vision, if you strictly live a life of dharma, I tell you, you do not compromise with dharma at all for anything. Okay? Strictly live a life of dharma and you intensely seek Bhagavan's grace and pray to Bhagavan to bless you with all strength to be able to live a life of dharma, then always your will becomes surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. Surrendering one's will to Bhagavan, surrendering of dharma is surrendering one's will to Bhagavan of dharma is relative surrender. Otherwise, there's no surrender. Only if you live a life of dharma, then Bhagavan showers his grace upon you. You tap abundance of Bhagavan's grace if you live a life of dharma. Once you tap grace, and he can do anything for you. Understand? That is the idea.